Good morning, Western Wisconsin. Let's see what we're up to. Time for Spectrum West. Hi, everybody. Al Ross, and we are making a lot of stops today on the old Spectrum Express. Today you're going to hear from an original, Eddie Money. He's got us coming and going. He's coming to Eau Claire Saturday night, and he's going strong after a very nice career in good old rock and roll. The Eau Claire Improv Festival kicks off tonight, and the originator, Amber Dernbach, is here to talk about what the second annual affair has waiting for us. Of course, being improv, we don't really know yet, do we? Jim Oliver welcomes the director of the stage version of what many people consider a cult favorite movie, A Christmas Story. It's playing at the Festival Theater in St. Croix Falls. The Chippewa Valley Youth Symphony has a concert Sunday afternoon, and we'll be talking with director Eric Dasher about it. But first, each time I sit down with Nobuyoshi Yasuda, Nobu for short, conductor of the Chippewa Valley Symphony Orchestra, I'm ready for a captivating conversation. The intent is to talk about the upcoming symphony concert, which we eventually accomplish, but sometimes it begins with simple curiosity, like, hey, what's Christmas like in Japan, and what's the weather like this time of year in Nobu's country of origin?
It all depends on, you know, where, you know, you are, but Osaka, actually, it's my hometown. It's pretty mild. Probably this time, now just before Christmas, I would say temperature of between 50 and 60. Oh. Yeah, I mean, but we have a little humidity, and it's, somehow you feel cold, right? Oh, sure. And of course, not as cold as here.
Yeah, I thought I'd ask you that because it's so cold here. I mean, it's amazing. Did it take a while for you to get used to this when you came to Wisconsin?
Well, the thing is that before I came to Eau Claire, I was 3 years in Minneapolis, and I was studying there. And then that time, probably you know, like that was like between 88 and 91. I was there. I think winter was even colder at that time, right? So then somehow, you know, every time I was actually walking outside between my apartment and the school, I felt like, I felt like why I'm here. I mean, it was really, I felt like I was walking through the North Pole or something. Then, but at the same time, I really felt like, wow, I'm so tough. So I kind of got some kind of a motivation. Okay, I'm here, so I'm surviving here. So then, you know, so I don't know, I got as incredibly kind of, in a way, high energy motivation from being here.
Yeah. You say if I can go through this, I can do anything.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, and also I have one experience. You know, even before that, I was still a student at the Indiana University. So I had a winter break, and then since my friend was living in LA, so then during the winter break, I went to LA. So then, you know, it was very nice. The weather is nice. And, you know, I mean, first week I really enjoyed actually driving around. And then I started feeling like this. So the weather is like this every day for the entire year. And then people are like, yeah, yeah. And then I just started feeling like this is not really, really, I mean, interesting. And I started losing my energy too. Yeah, we can do it tomorrow. Kind of attitude, you know what? But here, no.
Tell me, I'm also curious about Christmas in Japan.
Christmas, actually, we do celebrate in a way, but not really the religious way, right. You know, like here. But my parents, you know, are Christian. So, I mean, our family, I mean, particularly actually had, of course, tradition, you know, to we went to church, you know, on Christmas Eve, and then sometimes Christmas morning, actually, we sometimes in Japan, they even go to church sometimes the day of Christmas. But I mean, to me as a kid, it was what we were looking forward to was the Santa Claus. Now, I mean, when I was a kid, I really believed in the Santa Claus and every night. I mean,
you don't anymore?
Well, I mean,
I do.
It's good. Good for you. Yeah, I mean, I went to bed and the next morning the present was, you know, about, it was an exciting morning.
Yeah. It's fact that the world of famous composers is an all-men's club. Why not women composers? And are there famous women composers today?
Yeah, there are now, I mean, many composers, actually women composers, but I mean, it's like a history of, I mean, basically many, many, many years ago, 200 years ago, or 300 years ago, unfortunately, I think the women were not given opportunity to even, you know, for the, any education, right? But during the time of even Mendelssohn, His sister was an incredible pianist, and she also composed music too. Not really famous, but she composed music. And also, Clara Schumann, basically, you know, that Robert Schumann's wife was actually incredible, also pianist, concert pianist, and also she was a really good composer. And so we do, still, we perform her piece quite a bit. It's actually, I performed her piano trio. Yeah, so then in America, the first composer come to my mind is Amy Beach. But actually, probably you don't know when she actually lived. I mean, she actually composed the music almost the end of 19th century, like almost Wagner's time. So yeah, she was already writing a music, and you know, her name still exists, you know, as a composer. When it comes to this Nava performance, now more women become more professional musicians, I mean, like performer, in especially the violin and the piano area. Composers, I have a few students here, you know, women composers, and also our, actually, our professor is a woman composer, and she's fantastic.
Okay, now Saturday you're back at Gantner Concert Hall. That's a nice place for the symphony to play.
Yeah, actually, acoustically, I mean, it, of course, you know, Gantner Hall is really the best. And I mean, we are really looking forward to performing a lot of great music. In the first half, we have the first piece, actually, Hansel and Gretel, composed by Humperdinck. Not many people really think, you know, in this country, actually, why you are doing this one. But in Germany, this particular opera, actually, Hansel and Gretel, they performed this one during the Christmas time. So it's like an American version of Nutcracker, you know, ballet. And so it's, you in this country, you do that. And then, but in Germany, they perform Hansel and Gretel. So then we start with that, and then we move to a Greek, Norwegian dances. And it's a very, it's a series of nice, really fun dances. And then I know that many people here are from Norway, and then also, you know, this is a northern country, so I thought it's appropriate, it's fun. And in the second half, I mean, we have basically a bunch of Christmas songs.
The listing labeled it as Holiday Classics by Grieg, Mendelssohn, and Mussorgsky, and I'm trying to think, what holiday classics did those guys compose?
Right. I mean, the thing is that I did not just, I mean, pick the Christmas music composed by Mendelssohn, but this Mendelssohn's piece is, it's called, Wedding March. Everybody knows that. Some kind of a festive, actually, music. That's what I kind of made. And then the Mussorgsky piece is called, is a prelude to the opera Convenzione. So this is the beginning of the, this is, of course, it's a prelude, so it's the beginning of the opera. So Mussorgsky actually even put the title to this piece. It's called Dawn of the Moscow River. So this is a scene of a Moscow River really early in the morning. You can actually even say that. I mean, every time I listen to this music, somehow I get the kind of river, frozen, almost frozen river, with snow, but at the same time, the air is so pure because of the coldness. Like, we really, I mean, feel that. So then, you know, sun comes out, and then, you know, many, you know, activities start happening. You hear the church bells, and then, so you can kind of feel that now people are waking up, and, you know, day kind of starts. So it's also, at the same time, you know, this music provides some kind of a hope, some dream. So I thought it's also related to the river, and also winter.
So the concert is kind of a mixture of, well, you have some classics because you have Leroy Anderson stuff, but you have a combination of jubilant music, peaceful music.
To me, it's like a Christmas or this holiday season is more of a kind of a high spirit. So my basically the kind of, I mean, idea was that how can I actually put some music which create that kind of high spirit of seasonal things. And then, as I said, that this Mussorgsky Convenzione, it's not, it's a really beautiful, quite, in a way, quiet, but very beautiful piece to really, it's like, you know, when you listen to Silent Night, it's not really like a fun music, but it's, you really feel something sincere inside, and then you feel, you know, really good about, you know, just kind of gathering together with your family or friends, and then kind of you know, think about this holiday season, you know, Ave Maria. So those are the kind of pieces also we put in the second half too.
And then you have Mannheim Steamroller. What are you doing by them?
Yeah, they are very popular. Actually, you know, they somebody might not know about the you know their what they do is, but basically they use the original Christmas tune and then they kind of change it to a certain style. Yeah. And then, you know, sometimes really like a rock and roll style. In this case, it's a little bit modern kind of a style. If you are curious, please come to listen to it.
There's a subtle suggestion for you. Like a box of Christmas chocolates, a conversation with Nobu Yasuda, conductor of the Chippewa Valley Symphony Orchestra, which takes the stage at Gantner Concert Hall of the Haas Fine Arts Center on the UWEC campus Saturday evening at 7:30. Info is at cvsymphony.org. That's online. And tickets, same place. Your chance to do something special with the family this year. Sure. And you know, as Spectrum West continues, it's a pleasure to be able to talk about yet another of Western Wisconsin's signature symphony orchestras. This is the farm team for most of the others, the Chippewa Valley Youth Symphony, taking the Gantner stage, and I bet it'll still be warm from the night before, Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Eric Dasher, there's a good Christmas name, band director at Eau Claire Memorial High School, doubles as music director of the Youth Symphony, and we talked about the mix of holiday standards and some new pieces on Sunday's program.
You know, one of the things that I try to do with all my concerts, both at Memorial and the CVOAS, is I try to obviously make sure I pay homage to the classics. But I also want to give honor to new compositions. And the Wilderness piece by Tim Shackleton is relatively new, within the last year. Mm-hmm. It's a musical tribute to the Lewis and Clark expedition.
Ah.
Kind of western-y themes almost, mm-hmm. almost very, very Copeland-esque, I guess, pieces. And it's pretty neat tune. The kids are really liking it. Almost like a movie soundtrack quality to it, mm-hmm. a little bit too. So kids really like it, and it's just a fun piece to play.
The other more contemporary piece is a Vaughan Williams Christmas. Is that a medley of some kind?
Yep, that is a medley. Kind of the older, old English holiday tunes, like Sussex Carol, Wassail Song, Forest Green, just basically a conglomeration of all three of those tunes, and he kind of mixes them back and forth. It's a really neat arrangement of it.
And, of course, you have the standard Let It Snow, which is cool, featuring, it says, the student conductor?
Yep, we have a student conductor competition for students that want to try the other side of the orchestral experience. Some kids that might have interest in pursuing music as a career, music directing, music teaching, whatever it is. We had about five or six kids this year, and we get them up on the podium and they conduct, and we have a kind of a panel and they decide who did the best job. And this year, it's a student percussionist, Sarah Leppert. She's actually from Memorial. She's really did a fantastic job, so she's going to get to conduct the whole piece.
Very cool. Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas is on the program, the William
yep.
Tell Overture. You know,
yep.
I guess horses and stuff. I mean, that reminds people of horses, doesn't it?
Yep, again, and this is, you know, kind of paying homage to the classics. This is an shorter arrangement because, you know, William Tell is much longer. It's about a six-minute arrangement of it just to kind of show kids music that they've probably heard, mm-hmm. But they haven't necessarily had a chance to play it. Very recognizable, obviously, if you're a Lone Ranger fan. You will recognize William Tell. Plus, of course, the references I always make in rehearsal to the Tweety Bird theme or in any kind of Bugs Bunny, when the sun comes up, you know, that part is in there. And, you know, kids always, that's the first thing they think of. That's from Bugs Bunny. Well, it's also William Tell Overture.
Oh, really?
So it's a good little teaching
tool. Is that
tool.
The da, 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 da,
yep.
da. Oh,
yep.
cool. So I guess I didn't realize that was part of it.
Well, now you do. See,
yeah.
That's why we do it.
And I knew it from the cartoons, for gosh sakes.
Yeah, yep.
The Chippewa Valley Symphony Orchestra is also playing a Christmas festival. Everybody's familiar with Leroy Anderson because of Sleigh Ride.
Oh, yeah.
Here is a Christmas festival, and is this as old as Sleigh Ride? Is it? Will
yep.
we recognize it?
You will.
Okay.
Basically, this is again, another kind of arrangement, conglomeration of, you know, jingle bells. Every Christmas tune that you can fathom is in this tune, and he wrote this. And this is probably his second most. Sleigh Ride gets kind of the more press, but this is also just one of his classics that he did. A lot of schools we'll do this kind of as a feature piece or kind of a traditional piece. And we actually played this last year, and I always like the idea of traditions and, you know, starting new traditions. And we're just closing the concert with this. And so when the audience does come, they can kind of look forward to this because it's a wonderful tune. And if this tune doesn't get you in the mood for Christmas, then nothing will.
I was impressed to go to your website and see the photograph of this group. I mean, you have a large conglomeration. I mean, I counted like 10 cellists.
Yep. It's a great orchestra. I've been having a ball with them. We've got probably around 75 kids.
Wow.
All from around the Chippewa Valley. We've got Chippewa Falls, Memorial North. We've got some from Mondovi, Durand, just all over the place. And we're just trying to get as many kids involved as possible. And, you know, we've got 6 flutes. I've got 3 clarinets. I've got probably 10, 11 cellists. I have 20 violins. Mm-hmm. So it is just, it's wonderful to play with that many kids. They come, you know, because they want to be there. They want a little more. You know, obviously music is a huge priority, and, you know, our schools do a tremendous job with music in the Chippewa Valley,
mm-hmm.
and this is just kind of a supplement to that, just kind of help them take the next steps in their playing. And I love it because of the band kids. You know, I'm a band director for the last 16 years, and I really want my band students to get the orchestral experience because it's a different way of playing, and it's so much fun.
There's something special about that symphonic experience.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
I mean, being in a symphony orchestra, especially
exactly.
when you're young, I mean, to be able to say that you did that. Do you record these kids very often?
We do. We actually record every concert.
Okay.
We have CDs available that parents can get, and for our own records and, you know, things that we have, but we do have it recorded every concert, so we have CDs available, and got to watch copyright, you know, don't want to put them on website and things like that, got to be careful with that, but just for parents that want, you know, we have some parents that can't go to the concert for whatever reason, so we always have these available for parents to buy if they'd like.
That's a great idea. It sounds like a good year for the Chippewa Valley Youth Symphony. Eric, thanks for being with us, and have fun at your concert. It is Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock, Gantner Concert Hall, and happy holidays to you and the ensemble.
Thank you.
Support for WPR comes from Sue McLean & Associates, presenting Big Bad Voodoo Daddy's Wild and Swingin' Holiday Party, tonight at the State Theater. Tickets available at the Eau Claire Regional Arts Center box office or online at eauclairearts.com. Support also comes from Wisconsin Credit Union, offering home mortgage applications online as well as information about the process, payment amounts, title insurance, mortgage insurance, and more. More at wisconsincu.com.
Spectrum West. It's Thursday, the 12th of December. I'm Al Ross. Thanks for being with us. The music of George Winston in the background, and George coming to play at the State Theater next Friday, December 20th. And he will be a guest on Spectrum West next week, next Thursday. Now, Tiffany was talking about Big Bad Voodoo Daddy at the State Theater tonight. You should know that there is a special on tickets today. Day of show tickets special price is $20. Show up at the box office and you'll save a bundle. It's only $20, and that's in person at the Eau Claire Regional Arts Center box office. So that's pretty cool. Well, beginning this evening, Thursday, as well as Friday and Saturday evenings, the second annual Eau Claire Improv Festival is underway, and the second edition is noticeably different from the first. That's because people are noticing the Eau Claire enthusiasm for the art form. Originator and coordinator of the event is Amber Dernbach, who teaches theater and EL and is also the improv coach at Memorial High School in Eau Claire. So I called for more information. Interesting to read the quote, Eau Claire gaining national attention as an improv community.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, we recently had a write-up on the National Improv Network Registry.
Ooh.
It's exciting because we not only are getting attention for having a festival in December, that coincided with when I usually have the first Memorial High School improv show.
Yeah.
So I thought we would just piggyback. Well, it turns out we also are the only December festival. So
that's improvisational in itself.
Yeah, it is. And it's also, I think, it's gaining the people who wrote about us and got some more attention to the festival are also just interested in the fact that for the size of the community we are, there's such a level of activity. You know, otherwise we'd be going as far as Minneapolis or Madison or Milwaukee to get to the next one. So,
well, with some of the people you have coming this year to perform, I mean, it's almost a destination point. It's getting to be that a little bit.
It is. And, you know, those people who are coming from out of state, those mm-hmm. are people who we selected after watching the auditions that were sent to us.
Ah.
So we had even more people apply, but simply at this point, the festival is still in its early stages where I'm not in a point where we have the space. That is one of my goals for the future, is that hopefully by next year, the year after, there can be, you know, two separate venues uh-huh. running shows concurrently Saturday night.
Now, being the cynic that I am, I tend to wonder.
We've got to have a cynic.
Yeah, how do you know that, you know, somebody's video is, how do you know it's spontaneous? How do you know they didn't rehearse it?
Well, that's a really valid question. There's some trust that's going into that. Although, in addition to that, we have a couple of people in Eau Claire, the guys from Glassworks Improv, who got to see a few of these teams perform at a festival in Denver recently. So we know that they had a lot of street cred on that stage. And a few of the people we met when we were at a festival in Omaha this past summer, if we had not met them, we at least had seen a few of the teams perform. So,
well, you'd be ill-advised to send one and then have to do something spontaneous when you got here anyway.
You certainly would.
Unless maybe you just like to travel. Let's go. Who cares if we fall on our face?
Like applying for a job that you had no qualifications for.
Yeah. So is the second annual more involved than the first?
It is more involved. And last year, everybody at the festival had some sort of connection to Eau Claire. If they weren't somebody who grew up here, they were somebody who was currently performing with a Memorial Improv alum. So this has taken on a new mm-hmm. level in that we're bringing people that we don't have relationships with from out of state. And certainly the auditions, like I mentioned, we've gotten a lot more active with promotion this year and more active earlier. And we've got more workshops.
Now, over the years, we've all heard of people like Second City and people like that. Who and what are the famous improv companies today?
Well, the company that we're really excited about right now is the Magnet Theater in New York. And they're really an up-and-coming improv institution. We have two performers coming from the Magnet Theater, Rick Andrews and Ilana Fishbein. And Rick is an improviser and teacher who travels all over the country playing festivals and producing festivals in addition to the work that he does at the Magnet. And Ilana also is the director of the youth program at the Magnet Theater. She performs a solo one-woman show as Pepita, and she works with many other teams as well. So during the day on Friday, Ilana will spend some time at Flynn Elementary and then come over to Memorial High School, and Rick will be at Memorial all afternoon. So part of them being here is the opportunity for all of us to watch them perform, but also to learn from them, children and teens and adults.
Mm-hmm. So you have a triumvirate of performances. You have Thursday night. You have Thursday night. You have Friday night, and you have Saturday night. So
right.
Now Thursday night, it's at the Volume One Gallery. That's called Thinking on Your Feet. Nick Meyer was here last week, and we talked about it. It's kind of a storytelling thing. Kind of cool.
It is. Nick invited us to be a part of this evening on the 12th. Which we're really happy to do. It's a great kickoff, and Volume 1 is one of our major sponsors, so it's fitting that we get to kick off the festival in that space. Mm-hmm. There will be local writers reading from their work that night, mm-hmm. and then at the second half of the show, somebody who is in the group Shambles that I perform with, Ian Jacoby, who's a musician and a writer, will have just gotten home from San Francisco, and he'll be reading from a selection the rest of our group has not heard,
okay.
something he's been working on while he's working on his MFA.
Mm.
And then we will improvise a scene based on what we've heard.
Okay, and some of the guests who are coming from out of town will be performing on Friday and Saturday. Friday, it's at Memorial High School in the Little Theater, and Saturday, it's at The Plus. If you don't recognize that name, it's formerly Pizza Plus. And they've had performances there of different things in the past, haven't they?
Yes, we had the Saturday night portion of Eau Claire Improv Fest at The Plus last year.
Okay.
And then we also had a group of us improvisers, sketch comedians, and stand-up all collaborated together on a show in May that we called Best Night Ever. And we had a really, really big turnout for both of those events. And Pizza Plus also, or The Plus rather, has a really vibrant stand-up community that performs there every week.
Man, I mean, it looks like improv coming to town is like, it's like a prophet. I mean, pretty soon people are going to be talking on street corners again, and theatrical groups are going to benefit, and forensic programs will benefit, and confidence will be raised. I mean, sky's the limit here.
It is. And, you know, improv is just a whole approach to working with other people that is so unique to the field. Just the idea of being rooted in agreement and not in trying to outdo the person you're on stage with, but rather working for the good of the scene. Those ideas can really be transferred to so many different areas of our life, and just communicating with people, interpersonal relationships or on the job. That whole idea of not trying to be funny, but speaking honestly and speaking from the heart is what it's all about. And you're right, that does translate into gained skill for all kinds of different age groups and groups of people, whether they come from a theatrical background or not.
Now, the neat thing about the Eau Claire Improv Festival is that it is very affordable. Thursday night's deal, no charge. Then Friday and Saturday, there's just a nominal fee, isn't there?
You're right. It's the real deal at $5. Easily you could be paying at least 20 to see this kind of a lineup in a bigger city. And we're really hoping people who are used to coming to see our usual, you know, local teams turn out, but also I'm hoping that that $5 price will attract people who maybe haven't given it a try yet. There's so many different groups performing. It's a great way to get a feel for short-form improv, long-form improv. Like I mentioned before, we have one person who's doing a solo improv show. On Friday, in addition to the Memorial High School teams, we've got college teams from UW-Eau Claire, McAllister College, University of Minnesota, and then some alum from Memorial who are currently working in improv in Milwaukee. So that's kind of like our coming home or reunion night. Saturday, we've got non-high school, non-college teams down at the Plus.
Cool. Well, hey, way to go. Nice job. Nice job. Well, it's big to even have a second annual, because it means that the first was okay.
You're right.
You know, the second annual is probably the most important one, because if you don't have a second, you're not going to have a third. And
So true. You know, we have new sponsors this year, too. Really generous area businesses and individual contributors. And I think that as the organizer, is so meaningful to me, because it shows that people not only believe in the purpose of the festival, but, you know, trust that that I'm going to do the right thing with the money that they're donating, which, again, is part of the reason that I want to make sure as many people can be part of the performance or workshop as possible.
Sure. Now, just in case our conversation doesn't provide enough details for people, is there a place they can get more details before Thursday night or before Friday or before Saturday?
Definitely. If going to Facebook and searching EC Improv Fest will get you not only a list of who's performing on each night, but a list of all the individual workshops.
Okay.
And then you can join the workshop via Facebook, and then we'll know how many people will be in attendance.
Ah, see, isn't that wonderful? Technology.
It is.
Gee whiz. Well, Amber, thanks for being with us. I appreciate it, and have fun this weekend. I know you
Thank
will.
Thank you so much, Al.
The Eau Claire Improv Festival, second annual, begins tonight, Thursday, and runs Friday and Saturday night as well. Wow. Here's what's on stage in Western Wisconsin theater venues. The University of Wisconsin Eau Claire Music and Theater Department production of Far Away will play through Saturday at the Riverside Theater at the University. Scrooge the Musical is being staged by the Eau Claire Children's Theater through Sunday at the Oxford Theater in Eau Claire. The
Children's Theater has scheduled auditions for 5:30 p.m. Sunday for Till Death Do Us Part, the annual Murder Mystery Dinner Theater production. The Eau Claire Improv Festival continues through Saturday at various locations around Eau Claire. For performance information, go to www.ecimprovfest.com. The Chippewa Valley Theater Guild production of Winter Wonderettes plays through Sunday at the Grand Theater in Eau Claire. The Phipps Children's Theater will present The Best Christmas Pageant Ever through Sunday at the Phipps Center for the Arts in Hudson. A Christmas Story plays through Sunday at the Festival Theater in St. Croix Falls. The show runs weekends through December 29th. A Christmas Story is also being staged through Sunday by the Menominee Theater Guild at the Mabel Tainter Center for the Arts in Menominee. Public performances of Annie Jr. will be staged Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Old Gem Theater in New Richmond. Don't Hug Me Christmas Carol plays Friday and Saturday at the St. Croix Off-Broadway Dinner Theater in Hudson. The show runs weekends through January 4th. The St. Croix Art Barn of Osceola and the Space Center for Creativity in New Richmond will present a musical radio production of A Christmas Carol Friday and Saturday at the Space. And A Carol of a Christmas will play weekends and selected weekdays at Fanny Hill Dinner Theater in Eau Claire. The show runs through January 12th. And that's some of what's happening in live theater around the region. I'm Jim Oliver.
Thanks, Jim. But, you know, guys, a taste of Oliver is similar to a chip with holiday dip. Awfully difficult to stop at just one, so it's time for this week's Oliver Report. And who hasn't seen that lamp with the fishnet stockings around this time of year? Well, the subject of Jim's conversation today is the play and the movie From Whence It Came.
A Christmas Story is a play by Philip Grecian, and it's based on a 1983 motion picture of the same title, written by Gene Shepherd, Lee Brown, and Bob Clark. And it's also based on a book by Gene Shepherd called In God We Trust, All Others Pay Cash. The show is playing at the Festival Theater in St. Croix Falls through December 29th. And joining us by telephone to talk about the show is the director, Ed Morsfelder. Welcome to Spectrum West.
Thank you. It is a pleasure to be here.
Well, you know, I read somewhere that Philip Grecian became interested in Gene Shepherd's writing by reading his work in Playboy magazine, which means, I guess, that there was someone who actually bought Playboy to read the articles. But anyhow, why do you suppose a story set in the early 40s would have appeal today?
Well, it is set in the early 40s, but I think the appeal is universal. It is about a young boy, Ralphie Parker, 9 years old, who wants nothing else for Christmas but a genuine Red Ryder 200-shot carbine action range model air rifle with a compass and this thing that tells time built right into the sock. And he tries every way he can to get it from his parents, trying to get writing a theme for his teacher, even seeing Santa Claus, and everybody tells him he'll shoot his eye out. And I think the universality of it comes from dreams of children at Christmas time and growing up in a fairly small community with his friends around him. So whether it's set in 1939 or 2013, I think the story remains the same.
You know, I was just thinking, do they still make air rifles? I
As
actually...
a matter of fact, for this show, I bought two Red Ryder carbine action range model air rifles for props for the show. Oh. And in fact, they will be auctioned off, actually raffled off, during the run of the show.
Oh.
Along with the legendary leg lamp that comes with this show.
Oh, my gosh. So this is chances for all kinds of goodies coming out of this play.
Exactly. So. Exactly. Except I plan to win the leg lamp, so the rest of you need not apply.
Oh, okay. So, well, of course, I suppose you have an opportunity to cook the books, too, huh?
No, I will not do that.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have brought that up.
No, that's fine.
Who are the principal characters, principal actors in the play?
Well, we have four professional actors, the adult actors in the show, and we have a total of 14 youth actors. The professional actors in the show are the mom and the dad. Jackie Johnson plays the mom. Kimberly Braun plays Miss Shields, and Daryl Johnson plays the old man who never has a first name in the show. In fact, Mother doesn't either. The only one with first names are Ralphie and his friends.
Hmm.
We have a teacher who is hopefully supporting Ralphie Parker in the show, but ultimately she does not. And the man who plays Ralph himself, the older Ralph, that is Seth Hulfosser, who is also an employee at the theater, as is Jackie Johnson. The youth actors in the show, we have two youth casts because this show runs for 19 performances, and we may have up to a dozen matinee performances that are for local schools. So we trade off the seven youth in each show so that they can alternate shows. Our two Ralphie Parkers are played by local youth between the ages of 9 and 12. So we have quite a lovely diversity of folks in this show.
Tell me about your background in theater. What is, you know, your background in general? You told me that you're a volunteer, so that sounds interesting in a professional theater. But anyway, talk about your background in theater in general.
Well, in high school, I did theater, and in fact, I was reminiscing today. We were rehearsing Tea House of the August Moon on November 22nd, 1963, when school was closed for a week because of the Kennedy assassination.
Mm.
And then I went to the University of Wisconsin, majored in English and speech and theater, and did some shows down there, and taught high school for 2 years, directed a couple of plays in high school, and then took 30 years off to practice law. In 2000, I was in a community performance down in Mankato at their community theater. And then when I retired and moved to Amory, did some community work at the Northern Lakes Center for the Arts, got to know Danette Olson, the executive director here at Festival Theater, auditioned for a show in 2008. And since then, have worked as an actor in several shows here, have helped write a couple of shows that have been produced here, and directed the Christmas show last year and this year. So it has sort of taken over my life in a wonderfully delightful way.
You know, it happens to a lot of people for some reason that the theater gets in your blood and then you're kind of stuck with it for a while. Well, he is Ed Morsfelder, who is director of the play A Christmas Story at the Festival Theater in St. Croix Falls. When I was a child in the 1940s, that dates me considerably, but anyway, my parents gave me a BB gun or an air rifle, properly. Did you ever have an air rifle?
I did, and in fact, unfortunately, from my wife's point of view, I still own it and pretty much everything else I owned in childhood. It is a Daisy pump-action air rifle that I would take out behind the chicken coop, line up bottles on a board, and shoot from the hip. It held 50 shots, and I just shot until it was empty. It was great.
Well, the problem with as I understand it in the play, is that the poor kid couldn't get the air rifle because it'd shoot his eye out. And I never shot anybody's eye out, but my air rifle somehow wound up in my parents' stuff. And one day I was visiting and found this thing. And we had a 13-year-old son, so we gave him the air rifle. He expressed some interest in it. And suddenly we began to find small little holes in the windows in the house.
Yeah.
So that was probably a bad idea for us to have done that.
Well, I also committed a few minor misdemeanors with my air rifle on the windows in the barn in our family farm.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think my dad ever saw them. I felt really guilty about it, and I said one day, don't you think we ought to go out and check the windows in the barn? And he had no idea why we would do that. And he said, no, I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
So I took care of that.
So you've gotten away with it all these years, eh?
Yes, and Ralphie Parker, of course, in this play, the first time he shoots this air rifle, the BB bounces back and hits him right under the eye, and his glasses fall off, and he breaks them. So he lies to his mother and tells his mother that an icicle fell off the house and hit him in the face. So boys don't change much.
No,
That's
guess not.
Another reason why this is a universal play.
I guess so. Well, the play is A Christmas Story, and it runs through December 29th at the Festival Theater in St. Croix Falls. For schedules and ticket information, you can go online at festivaltheater.org. Ed Morsfelder, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
It has been a great pleasure, and now I will head off to rehearsal.
Okay, break a leg with the show.
Thank you so much.
Support for WPR comes from the Chippewa Valley Symphony. Seasonal music from Winter Wonderland to Sleigh Ride is featured in the Winter Jubilee Concert Saturday, December 14th at Gantner Hall. Details at 832-6366 or at cvsymphony.org. Support also comes from Riley Chiropractic, committed to gentle and effective treatments to alleviate pain and restore the spine to optimal health. Riley Chiropractic provides nutritional counseling, aqua massage, and personalized care. More at ChippewaChiropractor.com.
Thank you, ma'am. Spectrum West, I'm Al Ross. Thanks for being with us today. Well, Eddie Money's music is good stuff. I have to admit, I've never owned any Eddie Money CD, but when I heard that he was coming to Eau Claire, I hit the refresh button and have discovered how much I liked it. Then and now. You see, Eddie Money has changed, as we all do with age, but he's still touring with a good band, chucking the hits, as they used to say on the top 40 radio stations. And Eddie Money had hits to chuck, like this one. That is, of course, Take Me Home Tonight. And Eddie will name drop some more titles. But to get there, let's leap into our conversation, recorded the other day as Eddie was visiting his buddy Paul in New York, which is where Eddie Money, actually grew up.
Leo, what's up, baby?
Hey, man, how are you? So Paul's a buddy and lives in New York in the old neighborhood?
He's my artistic coordinator.
Oh,
we went
cool.
to the same high school together, and he just helps me out a lot. He's a good kid.
I've been reading a lot about you the last few days. You know, I used to think that a benchmark in a person's career was when they had enough material to put out a greatest hits album. But
right.
I guess another sign that you've been around a while is that there's a lot to read about your career. And by the way, before I continue, I got to tell you, on your website, that shot of you, that first communion photo, I love that. That is so cool.
Well, you know, I mean, the good Lord has really helped me. It gave me a lot of hits. I mean, if you think about it, I had like 12 hits in the top 100. I mean, Baby Hold On, Two Tickets, Take Me Home Tonight, Think I'm in Love, Want to Go Back, I'll Get By. But yeah. I have had a very long and interesting career. I got to give it that.
Tell me about, you know, Brooklyn. I mean, I watched another interview you had done. You talked about the 13th Precinct. You talked about Mickey Mantle. That had to be a cool neighborhood.
Well, you know what? Well, you see, the thing is when I was growing up in Brooklyn, my father wasn't allowed to have two jobs because he worked for the New York City Police Department, so I couldn't tell everybody. But he was an usher at Abbots Fields.
Yeah.
You know, I saw Jackie Robinson play in Pee Wee Reese and Carl Ferrillo and, you know, Gil Hodges and Nick, you know, Duke Schneider. And, you know, so I've always been a big baseball fan. But one thing about Brooklyn is, I tell you, it's a very close to neighbor, just like Queens. What I really miss about going back to are the candy stores. You go in there and you get a vanilla malted and you get a cheeseburger on a counter or the penny candies.
Yeah.
Well, you know, an ice cream cone with sprinkles. It was like, you know, growing up in that era.
No kidding.
There was nothing like the candy store. You go to the candy store to pick up the paper on Sunday before you went to church with your parents, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was a great place to be, you know, grow. I don't know. They say Brooklyn's back. Who really knows, you know?
That whole New York thing, I had the chance to talk a while back with Arlo Guthrie in Coney Island is where he grew up. That's
right,
cool.
Sure.
And then I talked to Bobby Sanabria, the jazz artist. You know, as you went through New York, he said almost every neighborhood you went into, you heard different music coming out of the windows, you know?
Yeah, so, it's very, very true.
So I mean,
it was the melting pot of the world.
Yes.
I grew up with black friends, Puerto Rican friends, Polish friends, Irish friends, German friends, Italian friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was no prejudice at all. Everybody was just hanging out. That's what it was all about.
Yeah, that's who you were.
You know, we all drank out of the same soda bottle. Nobody cared.
And they shouldn't care now.
No.
Oh, yeah. Well, so you became a cop for a while, but then, you know, you decided that music was it for you. You must have dabbled. I'm guessing that, obviously, you saw a lot of shows as a kid in New York. Is that where
I saw a lot of Broadway shows, and that's why I got a Broadway show out right now. I'm trying to get back on Broadway called Two Tickets to Paradise. And what I'm really proud about it is the songs in the play are not rock and roll. They're like a Roger Hammerstein's. Like, you know, it's really great.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm trying to put this play back, trying to get it on Broadway. And also, my kids' careers are taking off. I got a kid named Desi, and I turned around, and he just, in a year and a half, he just started writing all this music and learning how to play guitar. And, of course, my daughter, who was just, you know, she's very, very talented, but she's spoiled rotten, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody's going, where's Jessie? Where's Jessie? I don't know. I bought her a brand new car. She got a DUI for it. She couldn't drive it for a year. I tell you, these kids are driving me nuts. My mother always said to me, someday you're going to have kids just like you. And I said, well, what's wrong with that? Now I know.
Is that the kid that you wanted to be a dentist?
You know what? I was just kidding about all the kids.
Oh,
I wanted
okay.
the kids. I
no,
didn't really I... want to get them to get in the music business because if you think about it, it's a lot of fun playing bars. It's a lot of fun picking up the babes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But in the long run, you know, trying to make money playing at a Holiday Inn and raise a family, it's a tough business, the music business, because a lot of people don't really make it. But it is such a drug. You pick up the guitar, you get behind the microphone, you start playing the keyboards kind of loud when you're 15 or 16 years old, and you get hooked on it. It's an addiction.
You paid your dues for several years, but, you know, I can't think of a better place to pay them than Berkeley.
Yeah, I tell you, I went to UC Berkeley, which was a great university. I was out there for the People Park riots back in the 60s and 70s. It was a wild place to be. I mean, quitting the police department and moving out to Berkeley. You know, my father would get so mad. We'd see me on my 10-speed driving behind Dan Rather's doing the news.
You mentioned a while ago some of your biggest hits. Where did they come from? Did you write them? Did somebody else write them?
Well, you know what? I wrote a lot of the hits myself, you know, which was great. Like Baby Hold On, Two Ticks, Everybody Rock and Roll. You know, we wrote a lot of great songs, Trinidad and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the record companies in those days, I mean, just like today, you know, if they come up with a song and they really get behind the song and they're not going to get behind your song, don't be a dummy. Don't, like, you know, turn into a little kid and stomp your feet and punch the walls. You know, I didn't write Take Me Home Tonight, but I used Ronnie Spector on it, rejuvenated her career. It was a big hit for me, and I didn't like the song when I heard it, but you know what? I kept my mouth shut.
Eddie Money on the phone with us here on Spectrum West. A while ago, you talked about your Broadway show, and I noted that you have a CD that's called Want to Go Back, and that's a bunch of oldie covers. I think I didn't listen to it, but
it's great. It's got Fill Me Up, Buttercup on it, and CC Rider. Those are actually all the songs that he did with a group called The Grapes of Wrath, which is what the play's about, moving out to California with these crazy guys. And these are the songs, the Want to Go Back album, songs that I did in high school. It's really a great little CD.
Yeah, you know, when Rod Stewart put out that CD, It Had to Be You?
Yeah.
You know, he did all those old standards. I kept thinking after I saw that your voice would lend itself to that kind of stuff.
You know what? Rod is he's a lot smarter than me, I got to tell you that. But then again, he's got more wives, ex-wives to support.
No, I mean, you know, Great American Songbook stuff. Have you ever thought about
that? I know.
That?
I mean, all of a sudden, you got all the old people's coming to Rod's show.
Yeah.
And he dresses up in a nice outfit for the first part of the set, and then he goes into rock and roll for the second part of the set. So he's got the old people there, and then he's got the young people there. He's no dummy.
I think you'd be really slick at that. Your voice has got that timber to it that you'd do that.
I appreciate that. I mean, it's kind of like, I get asked to do a lot of Star Spangled Banners, which is great. I enjoy that. It's the only way I get into these games for nothing, you know. But I appreciate that. And, you know, my mother always told me, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And, you know, but she was right. You know, I like to sing anything, really. I just love to sing.
Well, you sit back and think about that. And when you finally come out with that CD, let me know so I can have a copy.
I will do that. It was a great idea.
Okay. Hey, I talked to a guy the other day who went to see you when you were in this neck of the woods for Rockfest a few years ago.
Well, you know what? We got so many great fans up there in Wisconsin. You cannot believe it. You know, when I'm into the Wildlife and the Batterbee, you know, it's like these craziest fans in the world. I wind up, you know, now that I'm sober, I wind up driving half of them home after the show. It's crazy. Eclair's a great little rock and roll town, too. And it's really, you know, I love it up there in the summertime. But in the wintertime, we got a lot of friends. Matter, the promoter called me up. He must be an older guy. You know, he probably books like Tony Bennett and Barbara Streisand. He says, who's this guy, Eddie Money? He's got a bigger guest list than the Rolling Stones.
I'm trying to imagine people believing the story that you had Eddie Money as a designated driver. That I don't think. So now, okay, so you're coming to Wisconsin and you're coming in December. Any little Christmassy thing to your show or not?
Yeah, we're going to do a couple of Christmas songs. I got that song that I did with Ronnie Spector called Everybody Loves Christmas. And one thing, Al, about a Christmas song, the greatest thing about a Christmas song, if it's good, it comes back every year.
Yep.
And people have said to me, I was out shopping the other day, and I was changing my pants in the dressing room, and I heard Everybody Loves Christmas, because, you know, you get a lot of airplay during the holidays from all kinds of stations, AM, FM. And it's a really beautiful track, too. I'm very, very proud of it. And we're going to be doing that in Wisconsin.
Well, you know, Christmas music, timeless. Eddie Money, timeless.
Well, you know what my mother used to say, keep Christ in Christmas, and also Happy Hanukkah to everybody out there, too.
Attaboy. Hey, thanks for being with us here on Spectrum West. All the best in everything you do. I mean, you're an icon, but you're a fresh icon, and we appreciate that.
Thanks for a great interview, and thanks so much for having me on the air.
Take care. Travel safe.
All right, buddy.
this day. Checking on my list, I'm almost done. Had to buy a gift for everyone. Don't matter, it's just that time of the year. Alright. I spend the money and I don't look back. Maybe even wake up in a Cadillac. The man told me, said, don't worry, it's not here. Everybody in the neighborhood got the houses looking really good. All your wounds kind of disappear. It all happened more than once a year. More than once a year. Everybody loves Christmas.
Eddie Money. Everybody loves Christmas. Tis definitely the season. Eddie Money, Saturday, 7:30 at the State Theater in Eau Claire. Decorating the holiday season with a string of hits. Tickets at 832 Arts, online at eauclairearts.com, and I'll bet you you can get them at the door as well. Spectrum Memos for you. The New Auburn Community Choir will sing their 2013 Christmas concert Saturday at Bloomer Assembly of God Church and Sunday at New Scandinavia Lutheran in Dallas. Eight bell ringers from Bethany Lutheran in Rice Lake will charm the Theater in the Woods audience at the Erica Quam Memorial Theater in Shell Lake Sunday, 2 p.m. You can give a kid a book at the L.A. Phillips Public Library in Eau Claire now through December 19th. Bring new unwrapped books to the library or to Charter Bank. Books a Million, also a drop-off point through December 24th. A Menominee holiday tradition returns next Thursday the 19th as Jim Miller returns with A Child's Christmas in Wales. That's at the Mabel Tainter Center for the Arts. Friday at the Heidi Center in Chippewa Falls, see the classic film White Christmas on the big screen along with a sing-along with Jolly Jerry Way. That starts at 7:30. Saturday evening, experience the soul music tribute, the best from the 60s and 70s. Saturday, the theme is Joy to the World at the Northern Lakes Center for the Arts in Amory. The annual concert of readings and carols accompanied by the Northern Lakes Chamber Orchestra, and that is at 7:30 p.m. Well, you know, every good travel and show has an RV. Ours is Rachel Vick. She's helped promote this little weekly excursion, and Tiffany Coggins is no slouch either. We have a lot of great assistance in putting this show on the road. Next week, legendary pianist George Winston will be here. Undoubtedly, you've sat in a dimly lit room and enjoyed a quiet moment with Mr. Winston at some time in your life. The marvelous Master Singers will make their Christmas, and we'll pack even more goodies into this stocking of sound again next Thursday morning, with a reappearance Friday evening as well. In the meantime, shop and drive carefully, stay warm, use the mistletoe for all it's worth, and we'll see you next week. Thanks.